The late historian David McCullough was one of my favorite guests. He is very much missed, but the new book History Matters, posthumously published this fall, helps us remember why history is so important for all of us and is under threat, especially given the current scrutiny of how the Smithsonian Museums and our national parks are telling American history. David McCullough was one of the nation's most decorated historians, winner of 2 Pulitzer Prizes, 2 National Book Awards, and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. History Matters is a collection of McCullough's essays that address the importance of history, especially our shared history as Americans. Many of the essays have never been published. The collection includes a foreword by John Meacham. The book is edited by McCullough's daughter, Dory McCullough Lawson, and his longtime researcher, Michael Hill, both who join us on the roundtable this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. A delight to have you both here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. It's great to be here.
So, Dory, how did this project come about?
It came about, Mike and I were working with my father's papers, which is an enormous quantity of papers. It's 270 feet lined up, almost a football field. And there was a lot that was so interesting in the papers. His publisher, Simon & Schuster, was very interested in doing a book. And Mike and I began working on it as we started to work on the papers starting 3 years ago.
So you were, Michael, you were looking for essays, or they were there, or how did it start to take shape?
Well, Dory and I were going through the papers, just trying to get a sense of what was there and an inventory and so forth. But then in the process of that, we started seeing some things which hadn't been published before. And then Simon & Schuster at the same time approached. So it was where we then started pulling these items aside, but then, of course, trying to look for other items that might fall into that. And then it came together beautifully. Wonderful unpublished pieces by David and wonderful reflections on history and his career and such.
I will tell you both, but especially Dory, that, I mean, your father was someone that I interviewed dozens of times and was my favorite person to interview. There was nobody
really
who was more passionate and sweet and loving and just could talk so eloquently on any subject. Just the title of this book, and in the first essay, that history matters, that of how important, and you're struck by this throughout this book, of how important history was to him.
It was completely, and the structure of the book, as the book sort of began to emerge, we realized the structure of the book, we begin with essays about history, the importance of history, why we should care about it, and then it moves into characters from history who had particular influence on him. Then it moves into contemporary people who had influence on him, and then the conclusion, the final part of the book, is about writing. And we hoped in the book to convey with what was available why he cared about history so much, but also to give more of a sense of him for people. People were interested in him and what it was like to sit on the back porch and have a cup of coffee with him in the morning. And we're pleased because we think that the book really does convey him to people who are interested in him and are maybe discovering him now for the first time.
One of the things I found fascinating about the collection, Michael, is that idea of subjects and what he gravitated to when it came to subjects and things that he wanted to write about. What did you learn about that in this process?
The major thing that I learned about him was that he was curious about everything. Dory touched on it a little bit, but he was curious about art, and he was a wonderful artist. He was curious about architecture. He talks in the book about he was fascinated by the dome in Florence. He loved music. He loved to sing. He loved to dance. He was fascinated by science and technology, reflected in so many of his books and so forth. But above all, he was fascinated and curious about people. It's interesting in some of the interviews Dory and I have done, where there have been callers, these callers have called in and said, I met your father once, and he wanted to know about me. He wanted to talk about me. He was fascinated with me. So he was curious about everything, but particularly about people. And that made him such a joy to be with all the time.
There is a section in the book, it's a Paris Review interview, called The Art of Biography. And it so beautifully illustrates what David McCullough did as a biographer. Dory, I'm interested in your thoughts of how you explain his art of being able to really bore down on those subjects and be able to extract such incredible insight and really give us a solid record.
He was a writer first, a historian second, and he cared so much about the structure of a story and the way to tell a story. And he wanted the reader, and he wanted himself, to understand what happened and how things were for the people of the time as it was happening. So it is not history from on high, as he described it, where he would be analyzing all kinds of things with the benefit of knowing how everything turned out. Instead, he keeps himself and the reader right with the characters as they are progressing through these events. And that allows the reader to have this sense of suspense. I mean, I remember reading Truman, and I'd lived, you know, through it, the 10 years, and of him writing it, and we of course know what's going to happen, that Truman's going to die, and it's the end of the book. And I remember thinking, what's going to happen? How is this going to happen? And so he could build suspense because he really approached it as a writer.
Mike, one time David said to me that he says, people always ask, are you writing a book? And he said, but people never ask me, because one of the hardest parts is for me thinking about a book, of being in the shower and thinking about what he wanted to write about and how he was going to tell those incredible stories, like Dory just mentioned, of how you make something we know is going, how it's going to end, and yet to make that so gripping and incredible.
Well, two things. First of all, you touched on one other aspect. He was thinking all the time about not only what he was focused on, but other things too. And to go back to echo some of what Dory said, art of biography in relation to David is a perfect way to do it. One other thing that I noticed about him when I worked for him is that there were a lot of aspects of the research and his writing in which he employed his talents as an artist. For instance, when we were doing the Pioneers book, we went out to Marietta, Ohio, and he wanted to see how the light hit the Ohio River at sunrise and sunset, because the Ohio River was a character in that. When he did Greater Journey, he wanted to be in Paris to see how the light impacted the city and the river at certain times. There, one other quick thing is that there's a wonderful essay in the book that he wrote about Harry Beecher Stowe in Paris. And there's a section there which he talks about Harry Beecher Stowe going to the Louvre and standing mesmerized in front of the famous painting, The Raft of the Medusa. Well, David, trying to put himself in the moment of his characters, went to Paris with Rosalie, with his wife Rosalie, went to the Louvre, stood in front of the Raft of the Medusa for at least as long as Harry Beecher Stowe did, looked at it from every angle, and with his little brown notebook, he took little notes of what he was observing, knowing that Harry Beecher Stowe had been there. That put him in the moment to be able to write about that scene with so much more artistic feeling.
He did that with all of his subjects. He would go to the places, yes, and climb the tower, run through the Capitol as Truman did. And what I find interesting in his approach, he would write the scene of these places before he went. Then he would go to see what he got wrong. And I always love that idea, not to go and build it, but to what did I get wrong here to fix what he'd already done? And he said he was a he was a, not a writer, he was a rewriter, because he rewrote and rewrote and rewrote.
I was struck when you talked about running through the Capitol as Truman did. I remember reading that section when I was first just reading it and thinking to myself, this is some of the most amazing nonfiction I've ever read in my life. And your father told me that it was he had to make a decision as he was trying to find out the exact type of shoes that that Truman wore as he was making that jaunt to ultimately become president of the United States. Dory, were there surprises for you in those papers?
Yes, lots of surprises for me. I would say for right now, I'll say two. One is there's an essay in there called Getting to Schlesinger, and that was something that he had written when he was 30 years old. And it was his effort to try to get a message to candidate John F. Kennedy during the 1960 election, a 30-year-old unknown person just trying to get a message of an idea to the candidate. And he wrote an essay for himself about that process. I'd never heard anything about that. He never mentioned it, didn't know that that happened. And Mike and I found these two little thin, or three little thin pages of typewritten essay in the papers. And there was a big feeling like, what is this? So that would be one. And then the second is not really a surprise, but was, I don't know, reassuring to see both of my parents, not just my father, but both of my parents who met when he was 17 and she was 18, that they were, through the writings that they did in their teens and 20s and 30s, they were exactly the same people at that age as they were when they were 89 years old. Their values and the core of who they were did not change. They were the same people. And that was, I loved that.
One of my favorite parts of the book is the list of favorite books. Oh my God, is that fascinating. Beginning with a book that I grew up with, which was Ben and Me, yes, by Robert Lawson. Did you all know that that existed prior to that? Because I know he was,
oh, yes,
he was list prone, wasn't he?
He was very list prone, and he liked to write lists about all kinds of things, things he wanted to do, places he wanted to go, tuitions he was going to have to pay, places he never wanted to visit again. They were positive and negative lists. He loved lists. The book lists, particularly those were not surprises to me, and particularly the books for children, because we were all exposed to all of that very young and all along. And he felt very strongly that children's books were literature and should be prized and appreciated as much as books for adults.
Mike, anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I think I was surprised by some of the books on the list. I mean, he went in speeches, like at the National Book Festival speech, which is in the book. He would talk about those. But the other thing I think that's important is that, particularly that final section, for any aspiring writers of history, but also any aspiring writers of novels or historical fiction, that there's a tribute to Herman Wouk, who wrote historical fiction, which David thought was great historical fiction. Michael Schar's Killer Angels inspired him about the Battle of Gettysburg and so forth. But I think any aspiring writers should read that final section. It's anecdotal, but also there's a lot of advice of how to get going.
One of the pieces of advice that is included in the book that I talked to your father about, I talked with him, and he was saying that he doesn't only, he wouldn't only reread it, but he would read it out loud, and he wanted to experience how it came from to the ear, and that he learned so much about what he was writing by hearing it and by listening to it. And he was even talking about the experience of of recording some of his audio books, and you know, saying, oh, this should be changed now. But meanwhile, that was too late. But it was really fascinating because that was very important to him.
Yes, he said that he wrote for the ear as well as for the eye. And the process that he went through in as being a rewriter was extensive and involved my mother, Rosalie, entirely. She read everything that he wrote, commented on it, he would work on it. And then as it would get closer to where he was satisfied with what he had done, she would read everything that he wrote aloud to him. And that was no small task. I mean, to read all of Truman, which is almost 1,000, is over 1,000 pages right. long. She read every word of that aloud to him, and they would work on sentences and they would make changes. And in many ways, I think he was writing for her. He cared what she said more than anybody about what he was doing.
Mike, what do you hope people take from the book and reading these important essays and sections?
A couple things. It's kind of like a table conversation, or as Dory said at the outset, having a conversation with David sitting on a couple of rockers on the back porch in some ways. But I think that as we go into the 250th anniversary of our nation's birth, particularly the section at the beginning about why history, that people will read it as people start to reflect more upon our nation's past, where we are now, where we're headed. And there's a lot of wonderful, wonderful advice. And it's fascinating that some of the things that he said that still ring true today, he was saying back in the 1990s. So I think it'll offer people a nice sense of reflection about why history is important. And then again, going back to the final section about on writing, I think anybody who's an aspiring writer reads the final section, they're going to get affirmation, they're going to get encouragement, and a lot of advice.
The last conversation I ever had with David McCullough, he was saying, and Dory, I assume you obviously lived through this, but he was very worried about the future of our country.
He was very worried about the future of our country, and I think he would think that we are in an emergency now. I think that he believed very much that we can't expect the politicians to solve all of our problems, and that the country belongs to the people, and we are a good people. And what kind of country do we want? Those were the kinds of things that he said and he believed, and I think that he would be saying that now. And that history is a guide to navigation in perilous times, and to look to history now is more important than ever.
The name of the book is History Matters by David McCullough, a foreword by John Meacham, edited by Dory McCullough-Wasson and Michael Hill. Dory and Michael, thank you so much for being with us. It's an honor to have you on the program, and I thank you so much for sharing with us this morning.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Be well. Thank you both so much. Again, the name of the new book by David McCullough is History Matters. It is edited by Dory McCullough-Wasson and Michael Hill. It's published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.